This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hi, guys. You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Gowacki. I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler, and May of 2024, the 10th anniversary rewrite of Oh Crap. Very excited. I just submitted the book to the publishers, spent the whole summer rewriting it, and I can't wait. And just to remind you that the book as is will be available for sale just right up until the new book is released, and I'm very excited. So if you have a baby now, I'm going to get on the pre-order list. All right, today I want to go over some sort of misconceptions, some confusion about a couple of different things and sort of straighten the record out a little bit. So number one, I have recently heard, I've said this before, so if you go to my website on my page, there are Oh Crap consultants who have their own little businesses. They don't work under me. They're not, you know, they're not paid by me. They have their own businesses. They are certified by me. And we meet once a month on Zoom calls, and they are available to reach out for me if they struggle. So I often hear from them about what's going on. So not only my own client work, but like other people's client work as well. So a big struggle that people are having more recently is, what is the difference between bribing and holding off an activity? And parents are really struggling with this, or some parents are really struggling with this. Like, I don't understand the difference. They can't hear the difference in the book when I talk about you can hold off an activity until your child pees or poops, as opposed to bribing. Number one, it's in how you say it, right? So if I say, you know, you can watch Elmo if you pee on the potty, first of all, do you hear my voice? It's kind of whining, right? Or if I say, you can watch Elmo, sure. Let me know as soon as you're done with the potty. You have to pee first, and then just kind of moving about my business. Can you hear that difference? One is, yeah, that's absolutely going to happen, right? As soon as you're done peeing. That's not a bribe. I'm not holding it over the child's head. So the second part of that is, first off, I'm not whining. I'm not saying, if you, then, right? Because that turns into a bribe. And I know that's a parenting strategy that a lot of people use, right? Like, if you pick up your shoes, then we can leave the house, right? Like, if you do this, then we can. And that can work in certain situations. It doesn't work in potty training. It's a bribe in potty training. The other thing is, a bribe is, I'm not going to give it to you if you don't go pee. So if you go pee, I will let you watch Elmo or whatever your child's watching. I always go back to Elmo. But the holding off the activity is, yeah, you can absolutely watch the show you're used to watching at this time. However, it's going to happen after you pee. And this is particularly with screen time. Remember, any screen time, if you do any screen time with your child, the most accidents happen on playgrounds and screen time, right? And accidents happen on playgrounds because kids are running around. Everything's gets shook up in their body. Poop accidents happen on playgrounds all the time and screen time, because children at this age, they cannot distinguish real life from the screen. They get into the screen. It becomes their world. Children under the age of 7 generally are not able to recognize actors. So they would not recognize that Daniel Radcliffe is in Harry Potter, and then he's in this other movie. They can't recognize that yet. They are in the screen, they get absorbed, and they start to have accidents. So I always recommend holding off screen time in particular because of this, right? But the other thing is, I'm not holding it over the child's head, that if the child doesn't pee, then they can't watch Elmo, right? And when we hold off an activity, it tends to happen faster. Whereas if we get into a bribing situation, we could get into a power struggle. No, I want to watch Elmo. No, I want to watch Elmo. You know, and then you get stuck in this, well, you have to pee. You have to pee. Whereas the other one is, you've made it very clear. Yes, Elmo is happening. Don't you even worry about it. Elmo is happening. However, you're going to pee first and let me know. Let me know when that happens and I'll be happy to turn on Elmo. So that's the difference. Yeah. When we withhold something from a child or don't give it to them, and then give it to them because they completed something we asked them to do, that is a bribe, right? If you, then I'll let you. And so you just get into sticky water sticky water. But what happens, sticky situation. When you find yourself in a power struggle with your toddler, and I talk about this all the time on my other podcast, Oh Crap Parenting. When you get into a power struggle with your toddler, you will never win. This child has nothing else to do in their life but resist you once they start resisting you. Yeah. And so that is going to backfire on you. I've never seen a parent win a power struggle unless you are the most authoritarian and corporal punishment, maybe then, but you'll be winning out of fear. So just remember that. Okay. When you are in a power struggle, and again, the bribe situation sets you up for that, you have to let go of your end of the rope. You are the adult. You know better. You have other things to do. You have dinner to make and kitchens to clean and food to shop for and clothes to shop for. You cannot get into a struggle with a power struggle with a toddler. Like I said, they have nothing else going on. This is their everything. So you let go of your end of the rope and figure out an exit strategy. But that brings us to, you know, I just talked briefly about resistance. Why does resistance happen? Resistance often comes into body training in the beginning. Like I say in the book, sometimes it's really common on day two, right? Because day one is like fun. It's a game. Oh yeah, we're doing this. Mom's like super focused on me. Dad's super focused on me, whatever. And this is fun and I can do this or la, 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 la. So you may have a rock star on day one and day two, all of a sudden this resistance. But there's this thing that's been happening. We're calling it the 3-day curse, where the resistance doesn't kick in until the third day. And so parents are like, you know, they go through 1 day, 2 days, and they're like, "Pooh, we're all good. Yay, we're done." And they really think they're done. And then the resistance kicks in and they are devastated. The kid's like, "I don't want to do this anymore. It's all fun and games." And now they don't want to do it. So you just have to skate through resistance. Okay. The reason a kid resists has nothing to do with they're not ready. It makes my head blow off when I hear this. Like, "Oh, she's resisting. She's resisting." Resisting right from the get-go can be a sign of anxiety. Anxiety and potty training must be worked through. You can't just hold it off because my experience, that anxiety doesn't go away. If you haven't heard enough from me about the wait till they're ready, it is by far the biggest myth perpetuated by big diaper companies that like literally have extended their product by years. It's unbelievable to me. Used to be diapers were for 2-year-olds, 2.5-year-olds, maybe 3-year-olds at night. Now it's not uncommon to have 10-year-olds in pull-ups at night. It's ridiculous. They've extended their product by years just by tricking parents. You know, wait till they're ready, wait till they're ready. I've said this numerous times. For the first year ever, I've now heard from, I think, 7 people who are delaying kindergarten because their kid is not ready. That's 6 years old, you guys. If your child's not ready to potty train by 6 years old, there's a glitch in the matrix, man. They've moved way on. So don't take resistance as a sign that they're not ready. Take resistance as one of two things. It could be an anxiety. And that's typically if I see resistance right from the get-go, like coming out of the gates, you pull the potty chair, I say, "Hey, we're going to take off diapers," and your kid just loses it and is resistant the whole time. That tends to be anxiety. Resistance on day 2 or day 3 tends to be the fun is over. It's now I got to do this thing. But it also oftentimes is because we, the parents, just keep trying to tweak it. So if your kid does really great, it is very natural for us to think they did so well. I can do better, right? And this is an American trait. So if you're not from the US, you may not experience this, but this is what we do in the US. If a little is good, more is better of everything. We do this with, like, I remember like when oat bran got popular, and I don't know when that made it, I think it was like in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's like, so people just were like eating oat bran all day long and like clogging their systems. Cause like, well, if a little is good for us, then a lot must be good for us. We do that quite often. Again, we do it in potty training. And so like, even when I'm working privately with a client, it's so funny because I'll be like, "It's going great. It's going great. It's going great." Like, I love working with clients right from the get-go. I often am called in to troubleshoot when things have gone wildly bad or big, you know, poop withholding cases or pee withholding. But, you know, oftentimes, not occasionally, oftentimes people hire me right off the bat, right from the beginning of potty training. And it's so much fun because it goes so fast because I can help troubleshoot along the way. And so, you know, day one will go great. Day two will go great. And I'm like, "Okay, now do nothing. In fact, we're going to slightly back off." And the parents are like, whoa. And I'm like, because if we keep trying to tweak it, the child will get pissed off at us. You know this age. this is such a tricky age, whether you're potty training at 2 or 2.5, 3, even 3.5. It's the age of like, I want to do it myself, but they can't quite do it themselves, right? So that's where that resistance can mostly kick in, is because you're doing too much. You're over prompting, you're hovering. It's so hard to explain, but like the first few days are so intense. And then there's this like, let go, let go, let go, let go, but don't let all the way go and still keep your eye on them, right? So there's a bunch of paradoxes in here, but that's what can happen. So just be cautious. You know, if resistance kicks in on day 3, not a big deal. Don't throw in the towel. Just soften everything up. Use those throwaway prompts that I talk about in the book, which are, you know, you're walking by and you're like, don't forget your potty chair's over there, or just silently put the potty chair next to their train table or whatever they're playing with. And so you can do these like soft focus prompts without engaging the child, staring them in the eyes, locking horns with them, and then getting this reaction. Of course, the other 3-day course that I can't harp on enough, along with the wait till they're ready trope, which is, you know, that potty training should take 3 days. And again, with preschool starting and kids changing classes, you know, generally back to school stuff, I'm hearing a lot of this. Like if, and I know this sucks. I know it's hard for working parents. I know it's hard for single parents, but 3 days should like get you a light at the end of the tunnel, but it is by no means usually enough time to be potty trained, and certainly not potty trained in a situation where your child may need to be fully potty trained wiping their butt. So you have to kind of strategize when the best time to do that is, and you can get the most days at home. I know it's upsetting because parents will take like 3 days off and then they're like, okay, this needs to be done. And that can work if your child is 2 and they're in a daycare setting and, you know, they don't have to be like fully potty trained, but preschool, they have to be like fully potty trained. So that's the other 3-day curse. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's just a lot of 3-day potty trainings out there, but it's very tricky, tricky. Okay.
Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, I wanted to tell you guys a story, a personal story that I think relates to potty training, especially when parents of late, I've been hearing more and more like, I don't want to rip the Band-Aid off. I want to do this casually. This is so harsh. And, you know, like ripping the Band-Aid off with potty training, I think can feel a little abrupt. It's by no means harsh. Yeah. It is best to do it though in a very small, concise time. And I'll tell you why. I'm sure there's a name for this, but I have always noticed when Pascal and I are snowboarders and whenever we can go on a trip where we're on a mountain and we can snowboard like 5 days in a row, we both get so good because we can correct our mistakes, right? Like you stack learning. When you stack learning like that several days in a row, it's like your improvements are huge. And so I think too, like when you do, like when people make dietary changes, I've worked with a lot of clients who are, well, I guess this doesn't apply because that's something else. But anyway, I think it's better to go like a whole hog and see measurable results than go like soft on things, because then you don't see measurable results. And so you're kind of in this no man's land. But I recently took an adult pottery camp. And so it was learning the pottery wheel. I am not crafty. So I'm very coordinated. Like I do obstacle course races. I used to do circus work. Like I'm very coordinated in some ways. And like with crafts, I'm not very coordinated. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster because pottery wheel, I've heard, is hard. You know, it spins. And I was like, oh, I'll try it though. So it was 3 hours every day for 5 days. And it was wild. Like I was so shocked at how good all of us got like in 5 days. And by the 4th day, I actually spun a bowl. I threw a bowl and I spun it out. It was 3 minutes. And I was like, Libby, what the hell? I got this so fast. It was so cool. And we were all commenting the studio. It was the first time they'd done this adult camp 5 days in a row. And they were like, we didn't know how it was going to go because it can be so much information, you know, just even about the studio, where things go. And it was so interesting because we all had that like same experience. And even the studio was like, this was great. You guys learned so much more. Like, we're now considered intermediate potters for their class. Whereas if we had done like a beginner 8-week class once a week, we would probably only be intermediate beginners. You know what I mean? So I thought that was really, really cool. And it just made me think, as all things do, everything comes back to potty training for me. I'm constantly thinking about you guys and like how to make analogies and relay information. But I was like, this is why you don't do a casual, because you're not going to see any results. It's going to dishearten you. You're going to forget about it. You're going to backburner it. You're going to have wait till they're ready stuck in your head. Whereas when we do it at once and kind of take the band-aid off, the child can stack this learning. So they're going to get it faster. When I hear, like, out in the wild, I hear people say, oh yeah, we've been potty training for the last year. And I'm like, what? Like, this shouldn't take a year. And so, I mean, it's totally up to you guys. But for me, I don't know, like, I don't want to half-ass it for a year, see hardly measurable results. And you're going to have to do, there's going to come a day because of a deadline where you gotta buckle down. You gotta be like, okay, well, now we got a potty train. Like, it's not a once in a while thing, right? But again, you've sent this mixed message to the child that it is a once in a while thing. So you kind of added a step and lengthened the whole process. But I just think that this, like, anytime you can take, I hate to say the word boot camp. I hate how that word is used in terms with potty training. I don't like that idea of a boot camp for kids. But anytime you can do that sort of approach where you're like diving in, kind of immersion, right? Like immersion classes with foreign languages, you get to stack those habits the new way. It becomes routine. Like, I could not believe how routine wedging my clay became, how centering it on my wheel became, how I got used to the speeds that I needed to do various techniques because I had it yesterday. I went to bed with it on my mind. I woke up, my dreams were all on the pottery wheel, right? When you get like that immersed. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up because if you are considering just kind of lengthening the process because it doesn't feel right to just rip the band-aid up, just remember that learning happens best when we can really stack all those things. Yeah. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about, and I saw this a couple of times on some comments on Instagram, and it goes something like this. Oh, my child was doing great for 2 or 3 months and then it just fell apart. So yep, I guess they're capable, but not ready. And so I just want to collect my brains against the wall because my head just blew off. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, if you learn something for 2 or 3 months and you're doing great at it and it starts to fall apart, this has nothing to do with not ready. This has to do with something happened. You don't unlearn anything. You've learned something for 2.5 months, then it starts to fall apart. You didn't unlearn it. Something happened. Yeah. So don't, I can't even, I'm sorry. I'm speechless, obviously. I can't imagine putting in the work of potty training and having a child be successful. And then after 2 or 3 months saying, oh, you know, and they were doing well and something happened, it started to fall apart. And the parents are like, oh, he's not ready. Why would you do that? You should figure out what happened. So things to look for when that does happen. The very first thing you want to look for when the potty training process appears to be falling apart. And please, 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 we have a huge hyperbolic population right now. Like, again, I've mentioned this before in this podcast. I'm devastated. I'm heartbroken. I'm on the floor. These are messages I get from parents. Guys, this is potty training. This really shouldn't be devastating. This is not traumatizing. This is not crushing or heartbreaking. It's just potty training. So like, let's stay away from the hyperbolic things, but it does, let's say, you know, a child has it and it does start to fall apart a little bit. You want to look for patterns. When does it happen? Yeah. The other thing you want to look for is how often. Yeah. So a lot of times I'll dig into, you know, somebody contacts me and they're like, hey, you know, it just fell apart. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Oh, every 7th day, he's dribbling in his pants a little. Dude, that's not falling apart. That's a dribble every 7 days. So falling apart would be like all of a sudden accidents, right? So you want to look for patterns. You want to look for, is it the same time of day? Is it only with one person? Is it only in one place? I know children who are perfectly potty trained for everybody but mom. Okay, it's mom. I don't know what you're doing, but it's you. So maybe if the child is well potty trained for your spouse, look at them. What are they doing? If the child is well potty trained at daycare, but not with you, what's daycare doing that's different? And you just call them and ask them. Yeah. If it looks like you're in a pattern of cluster accidents, so like child is great for 2-3 weeks, then all of a sudden, 1 or 2 days, accident after accident after accident, and worse, the child doesn't even seem to know it. That's indicative of a poop blockage. Yeah. That needs a Miralax clean out. A poop blockage is when, as your child is pooping, a little dry nugget might get stuck in a nook and cranny along the GI tract. And then every time a poop goes by it, it will go by, but it will spackle a little more poop on that little dry nugget. We are not smooth inside. So people envision our GI tract like steel pipes. That's not how it goes. So what happens is as this poop that's lodged in this nook and cranny gets bigger and bigger, each poop that goes by spackles a little more on, then it distends outward. It doesn't block the tract. So your child can be pooping, but still have a poop blockage. And a lot of parents just don't want to understand that at all. So that blockage, though, can then be bumping against the bladder. And because, again, we're not smooth inside, we're also not stationary inside. So as much as flip, you know, you go flipping and rolling and playing on the playground, our organs move, you know, not a lot. They don't slosh around, but they do move. And so that poop blockage may not always be hitting the bladder, but in certain, it might get into position every 1-3 weeks and it starts banging against the bladder and the child looks like they're just squirting and they don't even know it. It's these accidents just happen without the child even really recognizing it. So that's indicative of that. So that could be what's happening. But when you start to learn patterns, it will help you solve the problem. For a lot of people, it starts to fall apart in that sort of cluster time, the witching hour, that 3 to 6, 4 to 7 zone. That's terrible for everybody. It's a low point of the day. Everybody's tired and touched out and overstimulated. So is it then? Then you might want to take their pants off, you know, go back to block one just for that time, just so they have a better reminder. Yeah. And that's a really good time, guys. That's a great time to go play outside if you can. It's a really good time to regulate your nervous system. It's just a hellacious time of day for all of us. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And so that is a good place to like be really conscious and mindful. If you guys want, on my Oh Crap Parenting podcast, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I did one, How to Not Lose Your Shit in the Evening. Go read that because I actually like have, go listen to that because I have an actual blueprint for like how to store your energy better throughout the day so that you're not crazy. Because if you think about it, that's our toddler's worst time. Accidents really happen within that time. Meltdowns happen within that time. And it's really hard for us, no matter what you do as a parent. If you work outside the home, inside the home, it's a low point. Again, overstimulated, touched out, too many things on our mind. And so we're more likely to be dysregulated and not be able to handle those things. And that's, we really want to be able to handle those things so that we don't get into catastrophic thinking and worse, catastrophic yelling. Okay. So you're looking for patterns, you know, looking for patterns of environment, patterns of people, patterns of days. Pay attention to patterns of food. You know, a lot of kids, there's a lot of foods that make the bladder sensitive. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to talk about food, but you know, gluten, eggs can, sometimes egg whites can do it, citrus. These things can make the bladder very irritated and cause little accidents too. So those are things you want to look out for. But I really, really encourage you, if your child has really been doing well with potty training and something happens along the way, do not fold in the towel. There is absolutely no reason. We do not unlearn things in a day. So there's just something going on and you have to kind of be a detective about it. All right, guys, that's all I have for today. As always, I super appreciate you guys listening and I will keep you posted. I am migrating my website that will include a community feature that I'm very excited about. So I'll be offering various things through that. And so I'll keep you guys posted as things develop. And as always, I appreciate you listening and have an awesome day. Rock on.